Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you. We thank you for your word, familiar as it is. It gives strength to us and reminds us that your truth has come to us from the ages. May we have the hearts and the minds to receive it and to trust it. Amen. A number of years ago, I shared the following story. One New Year's Day, a number of years ago, in the Tomb of Roses parade, a beautiful float suddenly sputtered and stopped. It was out of gas. And the whole parade was held up until someone could run and get a can of gas. Now, who was the sponsor of that float? The Standard Oil Company. This float represented one of the biggest gasoline producers in the world was out of gas. Now, having marched in the Tomb of Roses parade myself when I was in high school, and also being a part of the high school marching band for all 4 years, 3 years, I hear that story and I think of all the bands and floats behind that float, waiting to be able to continue their trip down the rest of the 2.5 miles of the parade route. I imagine bands marching in place, thinking it was only a temporary stop and waiting to, and wanting to be ready to move again, and then coming to a halt when realized it wasn't changing right away. And wondering how long were they going to have to wait there in formation in the street. There were times when I was in high school, marching band, we were in place, that we would have to march in place and wait. And I was carrying that big white sousaphone slung over my shoulder. You just wait. There's no movement. You're not supposed to turn your head and talk to your neighbors in band. And so you stand there lost in the questions going through your head. What's going on? What's wrong? I sometimes feel that way about Palm Sunday, especially this year, when we all feel like we're marching in place with nowhere to go. We're stuck in our homes, lost in our questions, like, how long is this going to last? So, what does Palm Sunday have to say to us this year? Perhaps we're not too far from where the disciples and the crowd were who lined that route that Jesus took into Jerusalem on that first Palm Sunday. You see, they were there and they saw a parade coming. They heard the words, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And they became excited. The prophecy is coming true. But then they saw Jesus riding by. And as they look at the retreating Jesus, they are lost in their thoughts that are going through their heads. He doesn't look like a great military leader. He doesn't look like a great king. And I would imagine for many, certainly for some, but maybe even for many, the dream fizzled as quickly as it came alive. Now, I'm not suggesting to you that the people of Palm Sunday waving the branches over Jesus are the same ones who later in the week shout, crucify him. That was a crowd that had been whipped into a frenzy by the Jerusalem Council. However, I do imagine that there were those who went home disappointed that day. Perhaps they still believed or hoped, but even that would dissipate as they watched Jesus, the tragic figure, on his way to Golgotha, his crucifixion. And then there's Jesus on the donkey. The donkey, the lowest of beasts, but this was the lowest of the donkeys because the fact that he had the colt, and he wasn't riding both of them at the same time, but he was sitting on the nursing mother, and the little colt was following along behind. As far as you could get from a big war horse. And as Jesus looks into the eyes of the people, what does he see? Many years ago in a Palm Sunday sermon, I said, you know, when we march in a parade, you're watching us, but we're watching you out of the corner of our eyes. Well, Jesus was watching the people. He was certainly pulling out all of the stops. I mean, this was street theater at its best. The street drama was taken from the pages of their history, making the words of the prophet Zechariah come alive right before their eyes. Do they understand? Do they get it? But as he looks at them, maybe he begins to think, oh, I made a mistake doing this. What he sees is the expectation they have that he will now drive the Romans out. He was not the Messiah they were looking for. They didn't get it. They didn't understand the symbolism of what he was doing or of the Zechariah passage. Now, at this point, I think we all would understand if Jesus had just stopped, kind of marched in place, as it were. What he wanted to have happen wasn't going to. But the thing we can say about Jesus is he never marched in place and he never retreated. He kept going forward. He was on a mission. The next day, according to the writer of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus went into the temple, overturned the tables of the money changers, brought their secular Roman coinage and currency to the temple to change it into the holy temple currency so they could buy their sacrifices. Economics had invaded the temple precincts, and people were being cheated in the exchange rate. I'm sure the temple made some money on the deal. There was a service fee involved. And in his words, they had turned the temple into a den of thieves. And then he continued right there in the temple precincts to heal people, to teach people. Jesus did not stop his mission. He did not turn away from the people, even though he knew, looking at them on that parade route into Jerusalem, that they didn't get it. Well, today we hear, as I said earlier, this story with the backdrop of the coronavirus pandemic. And it's easy to feel like we're marching in place. We have nowhere to go, nor should we go anywhere, if we are to flatten the curve. How we worry, will we get through this time? How long is it going to take? And I would suggest to get through it by not marching in place. not emotionally. As there's a wonderful little book that I've had for many years. It's called Tales of a Magic Monastery by Theophany the Monk. And in the book, there's a story entitled, What Do I Need to Know? It goes like this. People were sitting around and asking him questions. His answers were so beautiful. And when the others had run out of questions, there was a long silence. And then I heard myself asking, What do I need to know? He didn't answer. He just kept looking at me for several minutes, and tears began to run down his cheeks, but he looked happy enough. And someone nudged me and said, Ask him another question. No, he said, that is the best question. I was thinking of the time I asked that very question of my master when I first entered the monastery. 50 years ago. And I will tell you how my master answered. He told me to take the question, What do I need to know? And put it to every monk. I did. Then he had me sit in solitude for a year, reflecting on their answers. Next, he had me find a ship and sail around the world, putting my question to everyone I met. That took me 6 years. And I had to reflect on the answers in solitude for 6 years. That's how my master answered the question. And the room became silent. But sir, I insisted, please, what do I need to know? Good, he answered, I will give you Christ, and that will be enough. Christ, and that will be enough. Jesus Christ rides into our lives, redefining what a Messiah is. He comes into our lives riding not a war horse, but on a nursing donkey. He comes to bring the peace of the kingdom of God, not the might makes right peace of the Pax Romana. Christ literally redefines what religion, the church, and worship must be all about. In the words of Micah, to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with God. As we shelter in place this Holy Week, we would do well, I think, to reflect on Christ and to reflect on each day of this week, about what Jesus went through this week, that we might have peace. Christ didn't care about having power in the halls of government. Christ did not care about how big our churches are. Christ doesn't care about how much money we or our churches have. Christ is about going through the hell out of love for others and for ourselves. Reverend Dr. Carl Gregg, a Unitarian Universalist minister in Frederick, Maryland, writes concerning this risk of Christ riding into Jerusalem. He writes, these risks led directly to Jesus' tragic death. This claim is not to say that following Jesus necessarily means that we will die a tragic death. There are those like St. Francis of Assisi, Clarence Jordan, and Dorothy Day who followed Jesus in radical, controversial ways and died of old age. But there are those like Oscar Romero, Martin Luther King Jr., who, like Jesus, were killed when they risked following Jesus' way. Similarly, theologian John Mabry has written that Rosa Parks is an imitator of Christ, not because she suffered for taking her stand or keeping her seat, in her case, but because she had the courage to believe in her own dignity and fought for it in spite of the conflict that resulted. Nelson Mandela was an imitator of Christ, not because he suffered in prison, but because he held out for peace and justice and led a nation to resurrection. In each case, it's not the suffering that's redemptive, but the courage to pursue justice in the face of pain and evil. And that's what Jesus did, start a triumphal entry, going into Jerusalem where he knew he was going to die. But it wasn't the suffering, but it was his willingness to keep moving forward. This week, even though we're confined, most of us to our homes, we don't have to march in place. We can move forward in our hearts and minds and reflect on the incredible love of God that led Jesus through the events of this week. And we can ask ourselves, what does that mean for us? What does that mean for me? This Christ I profess to believe, what does it mean for me? I think in many ways we've seen this, people answer this throughout this pandemic so far, as we hear and read about what people are doing to help other people. How there are especially young people who are going to the stores to get groceries and things for their neighbors. About entrepreneurs who are, even though their stores may be closed, are helping people, are helping their staff by continuing to pay them. People who can't open their restaurants, but you call up and make an order and go at a certain time and pick it up. They'll bring it out and put it in your car. Barbara and I did that once already. It's great. We see in this pandemic already the good news, the kindness, the humility that is going around as people help each other. There's a lot of good in the world. And we can celebrate that. We can reflect on that. So spend some time in silent reflection on the questions and the thoughts. And if you do, I promise you, Easter will still be a truly joyous experience for you in spite of the self-isolation. Don't march in place. That will get you nowhere. Keep your hearts and your minds moving forward as Christ kept moving forward on the road into Jerusalem those many centuries ago. Amen.